Okay, 810, please.
Request of Joseph Beeler to address council regarding city livability challenges, including sidewalk management.
Good morning. Come on up.
Good morning. Distinguished members of City Council, my name is Joe Beeler, and I'm a commercial real estate broker here in Portland. I'm one of the top brokers in downtown office space, and many of my clients are landlords of landmark buildings in Portland. As a native Oregonian, I've enjoyed watching Portland grow and change to become one of the top desirable places to live. Every day I walk the streets and promote all that Portland has to offer to investors and business owners alike. In many ways, I'm an ambassador for Portland. Over the past several years, Portland has rapidly become the market of choice for entrepreneurs to start new businesses, establish a strong regional office, or relocate their businesses altogether. Portland is now the top of the list for regional institutional investors looking for opportunities, and I am often called upon to provide market data, discreetly conduct tours, and meet with investors to provide commentary on our market and city. People love our city, and I do too. But we have a serious problem, and it's a glaring blemish on our city when would-be employers, investors, and tourists come to town and are confronted with it head-on. It is the city's current approach to addressing and regulating sidewalk space in Portland neighborhoods. It's not effective. Our lax regulations regarding management of sidewalk space is causing various submarkets to be unsafe. And it's an issue me and my property owners find ourselves constantly backpedaling on when trying to market various properties for lease or for sale. It becomes even more cumbersome when it's in your face. 3 weeks ago, I was with an out-of-state investor who is buying a property near Pioneer Square. And I was accosted in front of this group by a road warrior. This road warrior got up from his spot on the sidewalk where he is panhandling, got into my face and stated, "My friend over there just told me guys like you wouldn't give me a nickel." In another instance, with a different group, there were four of us. We witnessed in disbelief as two street people fought in a crosswalk in the middle of the street in oncoming traffic. How do you explain these confrontations on the street to out-of-state investors and business owners? How do you sell Portland's livability after witnessing that? How do we attract people to our city? The future of Portland's rebounding economy and livability is tied to the city's ability to attract new and growing businesses. Many of the landlords and business owners in signature downtown Portland buildings live in our community and pay taxes. But how are these property owners supposed to pay taxes and fees that are assessed if they have empty buildings because of this unacceptable street activity? I could go on and on citing more and more of this unacceptable activity, but I think you get the point. The city of Portland has a tremendous momentum and buzz surrounding it. Every week, a top 10 list or article comes out touting the livability and cool factor of Portland. But the perception of Portland versus the reality is quickly harming the future of our city. Let's deliver a message as a community that we will no longer tolerate this aggressive behavior and activity on our streets with action. I challenge the city to address this escalating problem by giving property owners the tools and backing they need. Let's work together to make the perception of Portland a reality.
Mr. Beeler, before you go, I have to, in defense of the mayor, just make a comment. I had lunch the other day with Greg Goodman, who's a frequent critic of the city on many issues, including downtown management. And he was particularly complimentary of the program the city's initiated, putting more police officers on the street and doing sort of old-fashioned community policing downtown, building relationships with businesses, with transients and others, and particularly the connection of getting people the services they need. Now, there's some people that are just resistant, but a lot of people do need our help, and police are actually quite good at linking folks up with services. We recently learned we're one of the fastest growing regions in the country in job creation. We have one of the lowest office vacancy rates in the country, and we keep making top 10 lists, so we're doing something right. I understand we can do more, but I want to just state from my perspective that we keep going on this dead-end conversation about changing the law of the sidewalks. And we can have that conversation, and we can continue to frustrate you, or we can talk about the changes that the mayor and the police bureau have made by putting more officers on the street, engaging people. And the vast majority of people I've talked to, and Dan and I were just candidates for re-election, so we had to talk to a lot of people, said that it's working, that having people downtown engaging the public in a constructive way is working. So I keep sensing there's a disconnect on this. And obviously we have to do more. But I don't want you to feel, you can challenge us, and it's appropriate to challenge us. But this council is actually doing a lot, including making significant new investments in housing. So let's find a way to work together on this, because I think you're missing part of the story here about actions the council has taken constructively to address the problem. And when I hear that we've got this big problem, and at the same time I hear that there's no available space to rent downtown, that we're leading the country in job creation and other positive indicators, I can't reconcile the two. So I want to get beyond these symbolic actions where people come and tell us the city's going into the toilet and talk about ways we can strengthen our existing programs. We all share a concern about helping people get off the street, and none of us tolerate illegal activity on the street. But I sometimes think we're talking past each other at these forums, and I hope we can change that.
Yeah, I would agree with you. We are a very popular place right now, and that's the big head scratchers, because everybody's just kind of going, wow, with the job creation, with the unemployment down, we're in single digits in our vacancy in the central city, and we've got all these factors coming into play. But we've still got these issues. So I don't doubt that. It's almost like we're to a degree ships passing in a night. It's not a good analogy to make, but I agree. There's more that can be done.
I think what I hear from, I was in Central Precinct yesterday, what I hear from Commander Day and his officers is the most intractable problem are folks that, and I hear this from Mark Jolin and from others that are service providers on the street, that there's a cohort of folks that are here typically every summer who are offered services and refuse them. And some of those are the folks that are causing the most friction, you know, out on the streets. And so it's a puzzle and a vexation for those service providers that they're there and ready with services and they're refused.
The fact is, too, though, we don't have enough services. I meet regularly with folks who are in the Right to Dream 2 rest area, and they're folks who've been waiting for months. Mm-hmm. Just before I came in to council, I read an email from a mother, an out-of-state mother, who last year I had helped locate her son who's been living on the streets, and he was able to go home, came back. And I can tell you that we are being tough on crime, because this young man allegedly was beaten with a baton when he tried to pick up his stuff when he was sleeping in a doorway by a private security and required 7 stitches in the back of his head. So, and he has told his mother that he can't even prosecute that because nobody will believe him. So there's always more than one side to the story, and I know that from talking with folks who desperately want to get off the streets and who have nowhere legal to sleep at night because Right to Dream 2 is full and there isn't anywhere for them to go.
Yeah, there's no question. As somebody who's walking the streets as much as I am on a daily basis, it's very easy to identify those people who are in need of services and who really don't know where to go.
There isn't anywhere for them to go.
They don't know what to do. But what I've found is they tend to be more non-invasive, for lack of a better term. They're not really bothering you. There's an element, and they are, like you said, they show up at certain times of the year, and they're here all the time. But you know who the problem people are.
We're going to get sideways with the mayor's spouse in a second. So let me just say, let me for other reasons. So let me just say, I was down in L.A. for a week, getting my daughter settled in college. 50,000 unsheltered people. Every street corner in the city that I visited had people in distress. It's a national problem. Mm-hmm. Number two, I watched a documentary that ran nationally while I was there that pointed out that we're also going through a bit of a crisis here because there's been a big spike in heroin use, and not good heroin, bad heroin. And there's gang activity around that. And so we've got kids, got some folks on the streets that have addiction problems, that have poverty problems, that have mental health problems. And so all I'm saying is, you have every right to come here on an annual basis and challenge us to do something. The way we're going to solve this problem is by linking arms and addressing the underlying problems of the folks that are on the street. And that's going to take resources and will. And so let's change the conversation at some point and figure out how we can do that together, because just challenging us is more in the nature of two ships crossing the night, in my opinion.
Well, thank you. Appreciate you coming. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Good.